The plans doubtless looked impressive. Operation True Promise, the Iranians called it, a five-hour barrage of at least 120 ballistic missiles and perhaps 30 cruise missiles, accompanied by a wave of 170 drones, hurled against the nemesis that Iran darkly refers to as the Zionist entity. The results, however, were somewhat short of overawing. Almost everything Iran flung at Israel this past weekend was shot down or fell down or didn't get off the ground in the first place. Israel's air defences and air force were assisted in their endeavours by the air forces, navies and or intelligence services of the United States, the United Kingdom, France, Jordan and Saudi Arabia. The total damage inflicted appears to amount to a few broken windows and dislodged roof tiles at an Israeli Air Force base near Beersheba. The only serious casualty was a 7-year-old Bedouin Arab girl, Amina Hassouna, injured when shrapnel from an intercepted projectile fell through the roof of her family's home in Israel's Negev Desert. In the aftermath, Iran has seemed unsure whether to spin it as a victory or call it a draw. President Ebrahim Raisi declared that the Zionist entity had been taught a lesson, even if the principal lessons taught appeared to be that Iran's missiles don't work and that a drone with roughly the same top speed as a Renault Twingo isn't much of a match for an F-35. Iran's mission to the United Nations declared, possibly somewhat nervously, very likely optimistically, that the matter can be deemed concluded. Which is where we arrive at Iran's reasons for swishing their chaotic sabres at the Zionist windmill. The matter to which Iran was referring was Israel's airstrike on Iran's embassy compound in Damascus on April 1st, which killed several senior officers of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the branch of Iran's military largely responsible for overseeing Iran's proxy wars across the Middle East.
عرض کردم که رژیم میدونه که این نوع اقدامات هیچ موقع بی پاسخ نمونده و قطعا نخواهد بود.
Iran was outraged by this at a few levels. Most obviously, bombing an embassy is generally regarded as taking something of a liberty with the usual diplomatic protocols. But it was also a breach of the undeclared rules that Iran and Israel have generally observed during their long shadow conflict. Over the last decade or so, Israel has sent drones of its own to targets in Iran. In January 2023, to cite just one example, Iran blamed Israel for an attack on a military facility in Isfahan. Israel has certainly struck hundreds of targets in Syria, associated directly or indirectly with Iran, without provoking much more than pro forma harumphing from Tehran, if that. Indeed, just a few days before the embassy raid, Israeli airstrikes on Iranian-backed militias near Aleppo killed at least 38 people, including five members of the Iran-allied Lebanese faction Hezbollah. Iran seemed more or less content to chalk that up to cost of doing business. But Israel's attack on the Damascus embassy, though precisely targeted, it demolished an annex in which the IRGC officers were meeting and barely scratched the embassy building itself, was not the kind of thing Iran was going to feel able to wave off. It is not altogether impossible that this was part of Israel's motivation for doing it, to goad Iran into a response, thereby rallying Israel's allies, irritated though many of them are by Israel's recent conduct in Gaza, and reclaiming some amount of moral high ground.
Iran will face the consequences for its actions. We will choose our response accordingly. The IDF remains ready to counter any threat from Iran and its terror proxies as we continue our mission to defend the State of Israel.
Iran probably had to respond for fear of appearing weak in the eyes of audiences domestic and international. However, it is difficult to see that a bench-clearing, regional, all-in conflict serves Iran's interests. If listeners will forgive the mixed metaphor, Iran seems to have called rather than raised against Israel's upping of the ante. Iran will feel content that it has demonstrated both the ability and the willingness to strike Israel directly and unambiguously. This might buy Iran an amount of credit among the Israel-disliking pockets of world opinion and compel Israel to rethink its approach. The IRGC's current chief, Major General Hossein Salami, has spoken of wanting to create a new equation. On a similar theme, Iran may also calculate that, at the very least, compelling one's enemies to launch missiles worth millions at drones which cost thousands is a useful day's work. If Iran did put its thumb on the button, fully expecting that little, if any, of its airborne armada would detonate at its intended destination, there is a precedent of sorts. After the United States assassinated the IRGC commander Qasem Soleimani with a drone strike in Baghdad in early 2020, Iran's response was largely theatrical. Retaliatory missile strikes upon US facilities in Iraq were, like the weekend's launch against Israel, telegraphed a distance in advance and seemed positively careful to avoid causing large-scale carnage. If that was Iran's thinking when it launched against Israel, it was a recklessly risky bet on the capabilities of Iran's enemies, formidable though those are. Also among Iran's salvo were Imad ballistic missiles. If fully armed, they can carry half a ton of explosive. Had one landed, whether on purpose or by accident, on Tel Aviv, Haifa, Ashdod or Netanya, we would not now still be wondering, as of this broadcast, how Israel might respond. For Monocle Radio, I'm Andrew Muller.